this movie came out between Shrek 1 and Shrek 2. For those of you trying to figure out where in the Shrek canon it comes out, when, if you're somebody who thinks of all movies relative to Shrek, Shrek 1 was 2 years before, Shrek 2 was 1 year after.
Oh my god, that's incredible! Absolutely, there are people out there who's like, "Hang on, I need to tell me the date, but it needs to be like BS, like before Shrek, or AS after Shrek, or DS during Shrek." Is this part of the Shrek Renaissance?
Welcome, foolish mortals. And Lillian. Woo! Happy Halloween!
No, no, I don't like it.
Yes, too bad. It's the spooky episode. Our first spooky episode of Air Buds. Hi.
I think several of the episodes have been spooky. I've established before that I find Jane Eyre as scary as this book that I can handle.
Exactly. I mean, it does maybe have a ghost in it, so yeah.
Ooh.
Spooky
okay.
stuff. How's it going?
It was going good right up until you did that, because you did not prepare me that you were going to do that, and it scared me a little bit.
Well, I got a good genuine reaction out of you. Well, listeners, it's Halloween, first of all. Happy Halloween to all
of
you.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Woo! We decided to celebrate by doing this month's or section's palate cleanser on the Disney movie The Haunted Mansion from 2003. I have a personal connection to this film, and we will talk about that more later in the mm-hmm. episode. But for now, all you need to know is that it's a spooky family adventure that also has a little bit of gothic romance in it, hence why we chose it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I know your history with this. Mm-hmm. Which is that you watched it a lot. My history with this is never having watched it before. And then last night I was talking to my brothers and I mentioned that we were going to be watching Haunted Mansion. I was like, have you ever seen that? And Rob goes, the one with Eddie Murphy. I was like, yeah. And he goes, I've seen that with you. And I'm like, no, you haven't. And he goes, I distinctly remember watching this at least once as a family when we were kids. And I was like, I don't know if you remember, but when we were kids, sometimes I would cry and leave when we started movies that I thought were scary. And I started this movie and I was like, oh yeah, the opening credits were too scary for little Lillian.
Dude.
And adult Lillian.
Oh my god, one of my first notes is that I think the opening credits are so beautiful. It's such a cool way to start a movie.
Beautiful? And two people die.
Well, yeah, but come on, it's the Haunted Mansion.
You say, well, yeah, as if, like, little Lillian could handle that. Adult Lillian watched that last night and was like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep after I watch this, so I'm going to have to watch it in the morning.
Oh, goodness. Well, I love you for that, Lillian. It's very endearing and wonderful of you.
Thank you. Ruth was also pretty scared by this movie, so... Oh. Ruth, my dog, for those of you who don't know who Ruth is, watched the movie with me and at several points, like, looked at me like, are we not going to do anything about the spooky things happening?
Cute. Sweet, sweet lady.
She's just a sweet lady. But other than being fully terrifying, mm-hmm. Piper, there's probably a lot of listeners who don't know what this is about. And I'm wondering if you could give them the world's fastest recap of the 2003 Disney movie Haunted Mansion.
I sure can. Also, for those of you who haven't watched this movie, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you out here watching Eddie Murphy's 2003 The Haunted Mansion? Come on.
Did you maybe Google the movie and see the Rotten Tomato reviews and be like, ooh.
Amazing. Okay, well, so you don't have to watch it. I'll just give you the full blow-by-blow. The Haunted Mansion, it is about, I'm going to start at the kind of plot line beginning. So it's about the Evers family, and this is Sarah and Jim Evers. They are parents, husband and wife, and they are also real estate partners in this real estate firm that they have. They have two adorable children, Michael and Megan, and they're having their relationship is a little on the rocks. Sarah and Jim, they're not doing so hot. He is really goal-oriented and he's really disregarding his family. And she's all mad about it. He almost misses their anniversary. He definitely comes late. And because she's upset, he's like, you know what? No worries. I'm going to take off the weekend. We're all going to go to the lake. And she's like, great, awesome. Then she gets a mysterious phone call from a spooky man and he's says that he has a property that he needs help selling. And she's like, no, we can't. We're going out. But then Eddie Murphy just has to like get that gold. And so he's like, okay, we're going to go. We're just stop by 20 minutes tops. So they bring their family all along on their way to the lake. They get to the haunted mansion. Very spooky, creepy. They get there. There's a scary butler. He takes them into the dining room. And then they meet Edward Gracie, the guy who wants to like hire them to sell his house. But actually, he's like really got the hots for Sarah. Like he's like staring at her and saying sexy things. And everyone's like, this is weird. And so then there's a storm. They can't leave the mansion. They have to stay there overnight. Sarah is mad at Jim. Jim goes off to do business deals, but actually gets stuck in a wall and has to go on a spooky adventure by himself. Sarah gets seduced by the handsome ghost. Ooh, he's actually dead. And he's leading her through the house and telling her the story of this woman who once lived there many years ago. And meanwhile, the kids have found a ghost ball and they're following the ghost ball on their own spooky adventure, trying to solve their own mystery. Eventually, it all comes together. With him revealing, at him being Edward Gracie, that he believes that Sarah Evers is his long-lost love come back to him at last. And she's like, no, I'm not that person, and runs away. But the butler, the bad guy, is like, no, I will force her to marry you. It is her. It's great. It's going to be good. He captures the kids, uses them as leverage. Meanwhile, Jim is off doing spooky adventures. In the very end, they host a wedding, and right before, we have a Jane Eyre moment where Eddie Murphy gets to run in and say, I object, but too late, she's already drunk the poison because she has to be dead to marry a ghost. But then a fire dragon comes out of hell and drags the butler down to hell, and then all is forgiven, and the ghost ball is actually Elizabeth and goes into her body and she gets to kiss a ghost. But then the ghost leaves and they all go to heaven, and then the Evers get to go to the lake and have their nice family vacation. The end.
That was 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm sorry. It's
it was so good. For those of you being like, well, I still feel like I should watch the movie. Don't. This was better than the movie.
And besides, we will have even better content for you at the end of this episode, which you should consume instead of the film.
Ooh, the little hints in this episode are just leaving you cliffhangers, leaving you in suspense. What's finally an Air Buds episode that has twists at the end?
Ooh. And only if you've listened to most of our episodes all the way through will you actually know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
Okay, well, with that, I feel like I want to hear what little Piper thought about this the first time she watched it first.
So I remember I watched this when I was like, I think, just starting to like get into feeling like romantic feelings in movies.
Cute.
Because even from like a young age, I remember watching this and I was so intrigued by the part that featured the ghost and Sarah, Edward Gracie, mm-hmm. and Sarah Evers, because he was so charming. He was so mysterious. I think I liked that about it. But there was this whole like kind of spooky and yet sensitive and intimate like romance. And mm-hmm. anytime they would cut back to like Jim or the kids, like even though that stuff was fun for me, I was like, wait, no, go back to them. That seems really interesting. What's going to happen? So I think this was one of the starts. I actually had a note here where I'm like, I think it's the forbidden romance element that I love so much. He has a line when he's telling the story to Sarah where he's like, they were from different worlds and couldn't be together. And little me went, oh my gosh, but they should be together. Who would keep them apart? And so it kind of, I think, is a big part for me of all of the romance that I've loved going forward in my life has always been two people from very different backgrounds who love one another and hopefully they make it work. So
yeah,
those things stood out.
For those of you at home who don't have the pleasure of getting to see Piper's little gob while we're doing this, she fully clutched her pearls.
I did clutch my little pearls.
It was so good. It was so good. I watching this genuinely, I kept thinking to myself, oh yeah, the subplot in this is Piper's part. It's the part that Piper likes. The Eddie Murphy part is like in the way of the movie Piper's watching.
Exactly. It would cut back and I'm like, no. Get back to the ghost guy.
Yeah, I think, and the thing that was so funny to me about those parts is I'm like, listen, I don't want to be rude, but you do not seem to like your husband and you seem very in love with this ghost.
Right? No, seriously. Also, I haven't seen as much like in-depth behind the scenes stuff because this is not the kind of movie that they spent a lot of time, you know, interviewing the actors about their process and all of that stuff. But the chemistry between Eddie Murphy and the woman who plays Sarah, which I think her name is Marisha Thomason.
That sounds right. I'll do a Goog, but it sounds right.
They had like zero chemistry. In fact, there's a scene at the very end, which I don't think anyone cares. I'm going to just say it right now. When Eddie thinks that she's dying and he's holding her in his arms and he's saying, he's like, Sarah, don't leave me. I love you. Sarah, I love you so much. And there's zero emotion in his voice as he's saying it. Meanwhile, previously, we've seen Edward Gracie like spewing the most heartfelt sentiment.
Well, and Eddie Murphy is playing the most Eddie Murphy in the early 2000s character in this, which is like the ding dong husband who doesn't know what he's doing, which was also all characters in the early 2000s.
Yes.
I like Googled like what are the other movies. I was like, how close to Dr. Dolittle did this come out? Like how close to like Eddie Murphy for a good 10 years there was the man who was the lead in children's movies that followed the same plot of Goober, obsessed with something that isn't his family, learned that his family is important and he should love them.
Exactly. Oh yeah, he was, I was going to say Daddy Daycare, I think is his movie from that time that I also remember watching and thinking was freaking hilarious.
Well, and like, it's so funny to me because I like always knew about Eddie Murphy and he was always in like comedies that were like not appropriate for children. And then for a hot minute there, he was in just hit after hit after hit for kids.
Yeah.
That was like, because I think Eddie Murphy's humor like really hits with kids. And so when you make it appropriate for children, it becomes a children's movie.
Yes.
Like he was Donkey at the time. It was, this movie came out between Shrek 1 and Shrek 2. For those of you trying to figure out where in the Shrek canon it comes out. If you're somebody who thinks of all movies relative to Shrek, Shrek 1 was 2 years before, Shrek 2 was 1 year after.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Absolutely, there are people out there who's like, hang on, I need to tell me the date, but it needs to be like BS, like before Shrek, or AS after Shrek, or DS during Shrek. Is this part of the Shrek Renaissance?
Oh my God. I don't know if you want to keep this in the podcast. I'll leave this up to your discretion later. But a few years ago, a friend of ours was in a relationship with a human man who was playing Donkey in a community production of Shrek.
Yes.
And it was spectacular to see. 10 out of 10.
Oh my gosh.
Would watch every day for the rest of my life forever. It was so good. But my favorite part of watching this production is that I was sitting next to our friend Ivy, and Ivy did not remember the plot to the movie Shrek. So she was on a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Of course Ivy doesn't remember Shrek. She's such a sweet lady.
was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. He's supposed to be an orc? Not an orc.
Ogre.
Ogre. She's an ogre. Like the twists and turns of Shrek really, really got her.
Cute.
Oh my God, it was so
that's
funny.
Wonderful. So Lillian, this being your kind of official first watch through,
yes,
what are some of your initial gut reactions about this classic family film?
It does. Here's the thing. You say that like a joke, but it does feel like a classic family film. The amount that it feels like 2003 to me is unbelievable, even though I didn't watch it in 2003. Like I just was watching going, yep, this was what movies were for a minute there. I really liked a lot of it. I thought it was like sweet. It's just the perfect amount of spooky where I think like for kids who like spooky things, I think it's fun for kids who like spooky things without being too spooky, which is the exact amount that I can watch, but still don't really enjoy. I don't like being spooked. And it did successfully spook me. The cast was astonishing to me. Everybody in that cast is so good. And then there were a lot of things that were like unbelievably annoying. Like for example, I know this is supposed to be, like, we're not supposed to like this about him, that he was obsessed with his work. But what annoyed me about that was not that he was obsessed with his work. It was that he and his wife are supposed to be business partners, and they're supposed to be doing this together. And they kept writing her lines like she was annoyed at him for always focusing on the business, but then didn't have any ambition of her own. Like she was being dragged along on his ambition when this was supposed to be her listing. Like this is the thing that like I probably shouldn't have cared this much about, but I kept being like, this is her job too. Why doesn't she get to have a career? Like you're like not even letting her be a part of this business. Like she's waiting at home for you while you're off doing work for the business you both own. Why is this woman not involved in this? Like,
I know. Yeah. I feel like the closest we saw to that is at the beginning, he's showing a house to this very upset couple. And she calls him to confirm that they're going to have their dinner reservation for their anniversary that night. Mm-hmm. And when he's responding to her, he's essentially like talking in code because he's trying to convince the couple in the house that they, that another interested party wants to buy. And she just like rolls with it. And so that was the one thing that I thought was cute that maybe showed that they like do this together, that he can respond to her as if he's talking to a client and she gets it. And she's like, totally, like just keeps going with that. So I was like, they should have done more of them. But the whole point was that their relationship is crumbly. So
yeah, the whole point is that their relationship is crumbly. But what was annoying to me about the way it was written was like, she didn't, not only is she like, it was a classic early 2000 things of like, the man is trying to have this career or whatever it is. And the woman's just waiting at home, like annoyed that he's not like spending more time with the family. And my thing is like, why isn't she also annoyed that he's not allowing her to have an equal part in the career? Like, if they're supposed to be partners in business and at home, he's doing it so bad. But
yeah,
I needed to mention that up top because it's all I thought about the whole movie. I genuinely, by the end of the movie, I was like, Sarah, be with someone who loves you the way that this other man loves you, because you don't even like your husband.
Seriously. Yeah. No, Jim needs to step up.
Let's talk about how the son is the smartest character in this whole movie.
Oh my god, that was one of my notes, is that I don't know that actor's name who plays Michael, but he killed it. He was a better actor than anyone else on that set, except for maybe the woman who played Madame Leota, because she was also incredible.
We'll talk about Madame Leota, but let's talk about the son really quick. He is like, he's spooked by spiders, and like honestly, There's a lot of Eddie Murphy's trying to teach him how to be toxically masculine.
Yes.
And the son is like, you know what? I'm fucking 10 years old. I just turned 10. I'm scared of spiders. Let it go, old man. Like, just let me be afraid of spiders. And the way that he stands in his truth there is braver than anything Eddie Murphy does the whole movie.
Agreed.
And this little kid is just like, let's maybe not go into the scary ghost house. And the whole family is like, stop being such a whiny little bitch. And I'm like, no, don't go in the scary ghost house.
Yeah, listen to your son.
And then the sister's like, let's go follow this actual for real light ghost situation. He goes, that feels like a bad plan. And she gets on this spooky elevator. And the kid goes, when was the last time that was inspected? And I was like, great question. Solid, only question anyone should be asking.
It's so cute. It's one of the best lines in the movie. And then they get on and he like, as the door closes, he's like, this is against all my better judgment. It's so cute. He's such a good little character and a good actor. I love Michael.
He's the smartest character by a good distance in the entire movie. And all he gets, like, this is, if you've ever felt like a Michael in your life, I'm so sorry. Surrounded by people who are acting like you're the crazy one when you're the only sane person there.
Hey, let's talk real quick before we get into some other details. Let's talk about some of this like 2003 fashion. First of all, I am personally absolutely obsessed with Sarah's outfit. That like white blouse with kind of 70s lapels, and then this like baby pink jacket blazer plus matching pencil skirt. Oh my gosh.
Is it baby pink or is it peach?
It might be peach.
I thought it was peach.
It looks different in different lighting, but yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. I thought it was peach, but she wears it the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of different lighting situations she's in.
Yeah.
But my bet's on peach. Mm-hmm.
I loved that. What did you think of her spooky gothic wedding dress?
I'm going to be honest, I hated it.
That's okay, because I absolutely despise Edward's wedding suit. What the hell is that?
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Ew, it's got this like wolf fur trim on the collars and on the bottom of his jacket. It's so hideous.
So here's a fact that I don't know. I was hoping you would know. Mm-hmm. The history and timeline of this movie makes negative sense to me. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to me at all. Where are they supposed to be? When are these things supposed to have taken place? Like the whole movie, I was like, I feel like I'm living in a plot hole right now.
Yes.
So Piper, you just put your hands together in a very, well, my dear, let me tell you, you've fallen into my trap.
Yes.
And you're going to start petting Minnow, who I'm assuming is in your lap.
That's my cat.
Her cat. Yes.
This dead fish.
Anyway, so tell me about the things that were concerning me in terms of history and plot of this movie.
Yes. So the setting is New Orleans. It is the timeline of when the original events took place, of when Edward and Elizabeth were alive, is unclear, because what we see in the initial flashback, the opening credits, which is they're having this big masquerade party before they're going to get married the next day. This is when it appears, presumably, that Elizabeth kills herself, then driving him mad, so then he takes his own life as well. But in the scene that we get of this party, everyone is wearing historical costumes. So you could argue a couple of things. You could say that they were wearing time period accurate costumes and it took place like a couple hundred years ago, or you could say it was like maybe like the turn of the century and they were all dressed up as old-timey characters. It's very unclear. Now I think you asked since we talked about the jacket, because he was wearing a gray jacket, I think maybe your thought process was like, oh, was he maybe part of the Confederate army because he had this gray kind of military outfit? What's so interesting is, I mean, maybe that's what they were kind of originally going for, but the fact that he'd fallen in love with a black woman doesn't necessarily make sense that would be the case. There's all kinds of interesting stuff. When I personally think about it, because little spoiler, I may have done a lot of research for my own creative project surrounding this movie. When I personally think about it, I tend to like to see this as taking place when they were alive, as like prior to the Civil War, specifically like the early 1800s up until like the 1830s, because it's actually really cool in New Orleans in that time. This was just after the Louisiana Purchase. So most of the people there would have been French or Creole. And so French culture was very prominent. They probably all spoke French. It's a little odd that they have so many British themes with this. That was kind of a poor choice. But there was also a very large population of free people of color at the time. And since we see in Elizabeth's portrait, she's wearing this very elegant outfit, she could have been like a upper class person of color at that time, which was like a whole population of people in New Orleans back then. So possibilities, there's no confirmation, but that could be what was going on.
I like that you've established a timeline for me, because it is super, in terms of like this movie, it is super clear that they are just old time.
Yes, they didn't think about
it. It was like from the past. They were like, it was my grandfather. And I was like, what does that mean? And then also the costumes are weird. And then your point that you mentioned of like, it's weird that they're very British. They are very British.
Yes.
I legitimately was like, how is this house supposed to have been in his family for this long, but he's kind of British, but he's also in America. And then also I have some news for you. If you think that white people have been here for centuries, gotta be real careful about how many centuries we're talking there, bud. And I don't know that I care about your family legacy and your mansion in the South for centuries.
Yeah. Definitely kind of has like a plantation mansion feel to it. So who can say? I don't think nobody wants to touch the history of what all that was. But if we want to try and be generous, we can maybe say it was during like essentially French-occupied Louisiana, and in which case maybe we had this amazingly small pocket of diverse cultures where we had free people of color and all these people interacting because the French know how to do it right.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm fairly certain that Piper has thought about this more than all of the writers on the movie and all of the actors and all the special effects people combined. And that's for a myriad of reasons. But one of those reasons is because the people who wrote this movie didn't think that hard about it. They just like didn't.
That's why
they were
like,
it's spooky. What does a ghost feel like? Ghosts feel old timey. Ghosts maybe British. Ghosts live in house.
Okay, so there is actually surprisingly quite a large Haunted Mansion fandom, but most of them,
I'm so excited.
they're all obsessed with the ride, not so much the movie that it was based off of. In fact, many of them think the movie is garbage. But it's actually, there's a very long and interesting, in my opinion, history about not only how the ride was created, but the story of the ride itself, which is partially why it's so interesting, I think, when they decided to make a film that they ended up on the plot that they did, but we'll get into that. So as quickly as I can, it originally was the Haunted Mansion was made in the Disneyland Park in California. And when Walt Disney wanted to create his theme park to begin with, he knew that he wanted to have a haunted house. And actually at the start, when they were planning the outline of the park, the Haunted Mansion was going to go right next to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride and actually be somewhat connected because they went through whether or not the house was going to simply be like a walkthrough tour or if it was going to be, I think it's called like a shadow box ride where you sit in the car and you go through these dark rooms and there's different things. And it kind of evolved. But the original story of the Haunted Mansion was going to be a pirate story connected to the Pirates of the Caribbean, kind of along the classic tale of Bluebeard the Pirate, which is like kind of an old ghost story. This idea that there's this wealthy sailor and he marries this woman and he has all of these secrets. It's actually very Jane Eyre adjacent. She finds out that he's actually previously murdered all of his other wives. And so she's going to tell the town folk that this is true and also that he's a pirate and he's a bad guy. He kills her before she can do that. She then kills him as a ghost and then haunts the house. So that was originally the story. It since then evolved into this kind of tale of the ghost host, which many have attributed to the character of Edward Gracie, which they got that from the ride and the attractions and put that into the film. There is no like love story per se with an Elizabeth Henshaw that was made up for the movie, but there's always been like ghost brides have always been a part of the story. And whether or not it is the bride who with the hatchet who like seems to kill all of her husbands, that's a character in the ride. There's also like lots of other stories of just a bride who was always left at the altar and eventually like locked herself in this house and died in her wedding dress, which is kind of it's either a Wuthering Heights or it's one of like a Bronte story that has a character like that. But as the ride then got brought to Disney World and eventually to Euro Disney and Disney Shanghai, they've evolved the story. And actually, my favorite one is the one that they created in Euro Disney, which if I could go to someday would be so cool. But they put their Haunted Mansion right next to kind of like the Western town. And so they made the plot of that mansion similar to that. But in that one, they actually, I believe, so the phantom of the Phantom Manor, he kind of is like associated with the hatbox ghost, but he's kind of this like skull-faced man with like a hat, a big top hat and a cloak. But the story is that he used to be sort of like the wealthy guy who owned most of the mines in this mining town. And he had this daughter and he was very like obsessively protective of her. So every time she would get engaged, he would end up killing her fiance because he's like, no one's good enough for my daughter. And eventually she just gets so sad that similar story to the first house, she like kind of like locks herself away and dies in her wedding dress. And now like he then dies there too. And now she's like forever sad and alone. And her freaky ghost dad is like haunting the house with her. But anyway, there's so many interesting stories to pull from. And then they landed on this one. But I've been jabbering on for a long time. Do you have questions or follow up on these?
I have an unlimited number of questions, but most of them are not going to be fun. But the biggest thought in my head is like, wow, I had no idea people care so much about these things. Like, that's so fun.
Well, as from your other podcast, as you would know, with Care So Much, which by the way, if you guys haven't from previous week, listened to Lillian's episode about romance novels, seriously, do yourself a favor and go listen to that one. It was so, so good. But
it was so much fun to record too.
Yeah.
But
Lillian, if not me, because you need to have a variety of voices, I'm sure you could find so many Haunted Mansion experts who would love to tell you even more
than
I know.
That's so incredible. That's so great. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's so funny to me how many movies come from rides. Mm-hmm. Like that would not, we talk a lot about adaptation on this, like the idea that oh my God, we have to find a Jane Eyre ride. There's no way there's not one.
There must be somewhere.
There has to be a Jane Eyre ride. So if somebody, our listeners.
Hey.
Hey, you guys are here.
Well, we almost forgot.
We almost forgot we were doing a podcast. You guys, where is the Jane Eyre ride? Tell me all about it. Mm-hmm. Charlene knows. There's no way Charlene doesn't know. There has to be a ride and Charlene knows about it.
It's probably just like a museum that you can like walk through and like maybe there's a little button and like Jane's like voice will tell you her story. That counts. That's a ride.
Their house is a museum. So genuinely, eventually when we go to London for this podcast, we'll have to also take a little bus tour and get out to their house.
Amazing.
I'm not sure how far away it is. England's so much smaller than I thought it was all the time. So we could probably do a little day trip.
I realize now when you say their house, you mean the Bronte's house?
Yes. I don't mean Rochester and Jane's.
Well, I was like, wait, is she talking about like an actual Thornfield? But then I also thought maybe you were talking about Charlene and the fact that maybe her house has become a museum to Jane Eyre. And I was like, does she live in England?
Charlene, we would come. If you decide to turn your own house into a Jane Eyre museum, we'll be the first ones through the door.
Yeah, we'll buy the first tickets.
Sorry. One last Charlene plug and then we'll move along.
Amazing.
Charlene is Air Guide on Twitter and Instagram, and she has been posting all of these gorgeous covers of all her Jane Eyre books, mm-hmm. and I'm fully obsessed.
Nice.
So if you like Jane Eyre book covers, first of all, she's just a great follow in general, mm-hmm. but also go check them out. They're great.
Yeah.
But Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. Speaking of the whole ride thing, I think that was one of the biggest like downfalls of this movie is so Pirates of the Caribbean, the film, had come mm-hmm. out and was incredibly successful, obviously launched a huge franchise. And so I think this was Disney's response to that of trying to be like, what if we can keep doing this? So they went on to their next big famous ride, Haunted Mansion. And instead of, why can't I think of Jack Sparrow's actor's name? Johnny Depp, they got Eddie Murphy to like lead it. Obviously didn't work. But I think one of the reasons is they, instead of having just like a plot to like carry us through, which was the romance plot that they just kind of pushed off to the side for the most part, they felt as if they had to like take you through the house and like do the ride as a movie, but that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just go through and be like, oh, look, here's the hitchhiking ghosts and like here's all the people in the graveyard doing their funny shenanigans and here's Madame Leota, although she worked well. I liked her a lot in the movie. I think they just lost themselves.
It's interesting because I think I was just, while you said Pirates of the Caribbean had just come out, it must have just come out because it looks like it was just a few months earlier.
Okay.
Because Pirates of the Caribbean came out in June of 2003 and Haunted Mansion came out just a few months after that. So they probably were in production at the same time,
gotcha.
Which makes me think that like, because Pirates of the Caribbean, people didn't think was going to work and certainly didn't think it was going to launch the franchise that it ultimately did, mm-hmm. because there have been, I think, a trillion movies. I don't know. I stopped watching after three.
Don't watch any movies after three. The first three are great. The other ones don't exist.
Okay. Those movies, like, they did better than people thought they would. Mm-hmm. So I feel like what Haunted Mansion is what they thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And if you're an executive at Disney in 2003, the better bet is to lean on an Eddie Murphy comedy, mm-hmm. and like let his Eddie Murphy-ness be the center of your story, mm-hmm. and not the ride.
Yes.
And I think that's what they did. And it does feel like, as you say that, it feels like they took the structure of an Eddie Murphy movie and then tried to force that through a ride.
Yes. And they tried too much. Yeah. They had an Eddie Murphy comedy, a ride turned into a film, a really interesting spooky romance plot that didn't get enough screen time. And yeah, it all just clashed with each other.
There's a few movies out there where you're like, the B plot's the part I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think this is absolutely one of them. Is there anything else? So is there anything else with the actual movie, mm-hmm. of Haunted Mansion that we want to talk about?
So I love the set. I think the set is so beautiful. They really like paid attention to detail when building that. And that's something I miss from movies nowadays when like every Marvel film is filmed on a green screen. So actually having that beautiful set with all those pieces that they could interact with, that was so cool.
Yeah. Related to that, the effects. Mm-hmm. I feel like The effects are incredibly 2003.
Yes.
But I also know from having been alive then and rewatched movies from then, really good for 2003.
Yeah.
Like those effects, you watch them now and you're like, oh, look, you did CGI little heads. Mm-hmm. That's great for you. But at the time, like, what kids these days don't understand. So at the time we watched that and thought that was really real.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, I think it probably was a similar, like, special effects makeup department with, like, the skeleton zombie people that looked very similar mm-hmm. to, like, what we saw in Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's talk real quick about some of the, like, Jane Eyre things. So I think the wedding, right? Specifically of... There's this interruption and it, like, then all is revealed when Eddie Murphy comes in mm-hmm. and tells the truth where he's like, no, you read the wrong letter, which for more context for the story, Ramsley, the butler, racist old bastard, also like social, whatever. He doesn't think people from different classes should mix.
He's very British mm-hmm. and very much doesn't want this other man who's also very British mm-hmm. to be not British in America.
Yeah.
So it's. And racism was also there.
Yeah, yeah. So back in the past, he actually poisoned Elizabeth. He murdered her. And then he hid the love letter that she wrote to Edward. And he wrote a new one that was like essentially her suicide note. So he set all of this into motion. And so then when they find the truth, which has to be revealed for the curse to be lifted, Eddie Murphy gives Edward the actual love letter. So he knows, whoa, she did not kill herself and leave me this awful dude who I thought was my buddy, like, killed my fiance. So great, this all sucks. But so yes, we get a Jane Eyre wedding interruption, but I also thought it was kind of, maybe I'm grasping at straws here, but the fact that so the ghost ball, which is just like the soul of Elizabeth, which if she's in the house mm-hmm. the whole time, why didn't the ghost ball just go up to Edward and be like, it's me? But I don't know,
because she's trapped,
I guess. So yeah, that ghost ball, like, ghosting around the house, kind of like she's up in the attic, like she's Bertha is Elizabeth. I don't know, maybe that's grasping at straws.
I think a lot of what we do on this is grasping at straws. Yeah. We did the same thing for Sound of Music, which I'm now fully convinced is a Jane Eyre adaption. Perfect. So yeah, I think there's some of those. Something while you were talking, when you said the wedding, I remembered you were talking about 2000s, early 2000s fashion. Loved her outfit, hated the wedding dress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The eye makeup that she had for the wedding scene. If you've ever wondered what 2003 eye makeup looked like, it was that. And I, all the love in the world, it was so bad.
Very sparkly, shiny, just light purple, silver.
And I don't know, like, it looks like little kid makeup to me, but that's because we were little kids then. And when we were little kids, it's like, is this pastel and glitter? Put it on your face.
Yeah.
It's going to look good.
Yeah. Although sometimes that still works today, but only if you're out raving and clubbing, but you know, not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that in my notes.
Nice. She's like, next time I go raving / clubbing, must do sparkles.
Yes. Yeah. And for our listeners who might not know me well enough to know how funny that joke is, I don't leave my house, and especially not at nighttime. You want me to go to something that starts at 10 p.m.? I've been asleep for 2 hours, honey bun.
Lillian already has her, like, old man sleepy cap on, and she's all curled up making Z's, going honk shoe, honk shoe.
Yes. I like Piper when she's pretend sleeping, sleep by going honk shoe, honk shoe.
Honk shoe, honk shoe. Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much covered everything that needs to be said. I have way more that I could talk about, but...
It's... Okay, I think let's just generally say it's a cute, sweet... If you like a cute, sweet kids Halloween movie, like, this is a cute, sweet kids Halloween movie. Yeah. Go in expecting that. Come out knowing that that's what it was always going to be. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. They're not good.
Exactly. You should know what you're getting into if this is anything that interests you.
Yeah, it's a hoot. It's a fun little cozy. If you like something like, and I don't want to put these on the same level because people will get mad and this is going on the internet. But, like, if you like the Hocus Pocus, like, level of camp yeah. in a movie, this is a pretty campy Halloween movie.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Agreed.
And the cast is shockingly good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a peak 2003 cast.
Yeah.
But I think it's more important at this point, more interesting to me, is to talk about Piper. this thing we've been alluding to, like Bertha, what is your personal connection to the 2003 Disney film Haunted Mansion?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Lillian. So as I said, this movie sparked my romantic interest, and I decided in 2012 that I was going to write a fan fiction to tell the story that I wanted to see, which pretty much removes the kids being at the house. They're not there. Jim is hardly in the film. It mostly focuses on this concept of what if instead of a case of mistaken identity, it was actually a case of like reincarnation? Like what if Sarah actually was Elizabeth Henshaw? And it's this connection of long lost lovers and then the fallout of what happens once you've remembered another lifetime but already have all of these investments and personal connections to the life that you're currently living. So I wrote a novel. It's called A Dance with the Dead, and I've been working on it for 10 years. I finished it last year. I've been editing and proofreading, and because I've worked so hard and I personally like it so much, I paid to have it printed in a book, hardcover copies. Will be arriving on my doorstep later this week.
Yay!
Yeah. So I can't sell it. It's a fanfic, but if anyone wants to read this story and see what a cute, spooky romance could have been, and see what my writing style is like, reach out to me. I'm happy to either see about maybe sending you a copy. We can figure out like shipping, or I can just give you links to where you can read it online. But you can find me on Instagram, just at Piper Cleveland. My last name is spelled CLEAVELAND, or on Twitter. It's at Piper Art and then the letter C. But yeah, so I wrote a fanfic and I printed it, and I want everyone to read it. So that's why we're here today.
Yeah. And I have a million questions, and we're going to talk about that a little bit without spoiling the honestly better sounding story.
Thank you.
But if for anybody who's like, I really want to read this, well, first of all, hopefully Piper can put a link in the description of this episode, and we'll make sure that the Airbud social all has Piper stuff tagged with a post related to the book so that you can go check that out as well and get there a little bit more directly if it's easier for you to get to the Airbud stuff. Mm-hmm. I am so excited to read this book.
Yay.
But this is exactly the book I was hoping, because you had like, so I have a bit of an embarrassing confession.
Tell me.
To make to you.
Tell me. Okay.
I have to do one quick Google before I make my confession so I can say the right thing.
Cool. I actually was thinking about it. Because I was hoping to get this book printed before this episode came out. And so I'm kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I actually want Lillian to watch the movie first because it's pretty bad. And I'm afraid that she'll then think my book is going to be as bad as the source material. But
here's my confession.
Tell me.
I didn't know. Ever since this you first started working on this, I've known you were working on a fan fiction about Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. In my little brain, you know how sometimes somebody says something and you file it away in the wrong file folder in your brain, and then you just sort of leave it there and you never really look that closely at it?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the movie Haunted Mansion when you mentioned it. It didn't connect for me. I didn't know what you were talking about. But there was a movie that came out much, actually, like around the same time that I did really think that you were talking about, and that is Hotel Transylvania.
Oh my God, amazing, dude. That is so incredible. That's amazing. That is not to say that someone could not write one banger of a fanfic for Hotel Transylvania, but I am honored. That's so incredible.
You have to understand the way my enthusiasm level changed from like, my friend wrote a book and I'm so proud of her for like writing a book level thing. Like in and of itself, that is a huge victory and I will read whatever she writes, to, oh, thank God, I actually have interest in reading a book like this instead of a fan fiction for Hotel Transylvania.
Oh my God.
Which is like an animated kids movie. And I was like, how did you make this a
That is so funny, Lillian. I love you so much. Either way. Now I have to do that, right? I have to... No! My sequel is going to be like, okay. So I turned this pile of whatever into a beautiful, gothic, romantic tale. What can I do with Hotel Transylvania? Like, come at me, Hollywood. I'll fix all of your shit, I promise. There's no creative writers in Hollywood anymore. I am that person.
There's no original plot lines. It's just Piper fixing the shit you fucked up.
I would love it so much if we jump to a post-apocalyptic future where Hollywood is just my fan fiction.
But I guess my question is, like, I guess we can't really answer any questions because it's all spoilies, isn't it?
A lot of the good stuff would be spoilies. If there's any, like, surface level things, I'm happy to touch on that.
I guess you told me the big things, which I was really wondering about, is like, how do you make, is Sarah the one who's falling in love and all that stuff? I think it's so interesting to, so does she goes with Jim to the house then?
She goes alone. He doesn't even.
Oh, she goes alone?
Yeah, he doesn't even come in the first place. So she gets a lot of nice alone time, which, by the way, I noticed something on this watch through before we like did the recording that when, and I hope this is intentional, when they first meet Edward Gracie, he's got his collar like all open and all the, and he's showing a lot of clavicle. And then later when he's in the library, he's more dressed up. He's like put on a cravat and he's like all kind of dapper again. I think that he was expecting Sarah to just come alone. And so he was like, he was ready to seduce his long lost love. And he's like, oh shit, there's kids here. And her husband, ew. Like, no, we were going to make smooches. It was going to be great.
He was like all ready to like wear like a, the red like robe situation and be like, hello, here, let me swirl a beverage towards you as a fancy lad.
Exactly. And he's like, oh shit, there are kids here. Okay, sorry. Hang on.
I think the more important thing for us to talk about, because I think that what your fan fiction, I'm assuming, is picking up on, is just the chemistry between these two characters. Honest to God, usually when there's a level of chemistry between two characters like this on a TV show or movie or whatever it is, and it turns out those characters are not actually supposed to be in love and together. Like, he's supposed to be in love with her, but she is not supposed to be in love with him, and she very clearly is. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised at all to learn that those two were smooching off screen.
They have way better chemistry. And actually, so Marisha, I think that's how you say her first name, Thomason. So she's a British actress, as is obviously this guy. So I don't know, maybe they just know each other from British Hollywood and are just buddies and have just that better natural vibe.
I'm now checking on this via the internet because we have access to it. Personal life.
Yeah. The only other things that I know her from, so she was in one of my all-time favorite TV shows briefly. She was in Lost, played a British, I think she was the helicopter pilot, or she was somebody. She like fell down and then got stabbed in the back by stupid John Locke. But she was also in, I think it's White Collar? Is that, that might have been the show that she was in for a while.
I loved the show White Collar. I think that was a good one.
I think that's what she's from. She was in, let me see.
I've got her Wikipedia up. Let me look. This is what happens when I forget to Google things before, because I'm cuddling my puppy because we're watching something spooky. Yeah, she was in White Collar.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. And then she, as far as I can tell, was never officially in a relationship with this human man, which is upsetting to me. But she was single in 2003. So in my headcanon about these human people is that they were kissing.
Yeah, no.
And on that note.
Oh, we have to get our rating of this, right? Of the original film.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm going to give it for a nostalgia ranking, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10 Madame Leotas.
Because
I just like it. It's not good. It's not a good movie, but it did inspire my first, I'm going to call it a novel. So I have to give it an 8 out of 10 for that.
I don't want you to be upset.
You can say anything.
Listen, my rating is significantly higher than many of the critics. This is the kind of movie, I can't remember what this is a quote from, but there's some like TV show or movie where they say this that feels like this movie is encapsulating it. This was a critically reviewed movie. Mm-hmm. It was reviewed by critics. They watched it. But I think this movie was exactly what it said it was, and it's solidly down the middle of a movie. And if you watch it, you know what you're getting yourself into, and I think it's 5 out of 10.
Nice. What is your ranking? Your mode of ranking?
Oh, on my 5 out of 10. Eddie Murphy's.
Very nice. Very nice.
This is, he did it, and he did the movie. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy went on the ride Haunted Mansion, and they made a movie about it.
They sure did. I have to say, speaking of Eddie Murphy and Madame Leota, I think one of the best actually genuinely funny lines in this is after they've, like, revealed the secret to just Eddie Murphy and his kids, and the one of the, like, little servant guys is like, he's like, are you upset? And he's like, of course I'm upset. He's like, the guy's dead, and he's trying to get with my wife, and the house isn't really for sale? Yes, I'm upset. And I'm like, that's good. I like that.
And the house isn't really for sale. Oh my god, that's great. The other thing that I would say is really wonderful about it is there's the Madame Leota also goes with them on their beach vacation.
I know, they take her, so she's not just alone in an empty house. It's very nice of them.
It's very, and the kids are like, she won't stop talking.
She only like speaks in rhymes. And it's just like,
and they've got her in, like, her little stand, like, buckled in, like, it's a car seat in the back. So cute.
Oh, my God. I think it's so funny. Because, yeah, like, just for the rest of their life, are they just going to have, like, a floating, like, conscious human head in a glass ball somewhere in their house? Very fun.
So good. anyway. So, what a fun one. We did a fun one.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to do one that's not fun. That's serious.
Very serious.
Airbuds is turning very serious.
Very serious.
No. It'll probably also be fun, but not quite this fun. But we are finally, after a mere 5 months of reading this book, going to finish Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
So we're reading, I want to say we left off at chapter 34.
I got it right here. We are reading chapter, 34 to the end.
Through the end. So it's 38 chapters total, I believe. So maybe Jane marries St. John in the book. We'll find out because she hasn't given him a definitive answer yet.
Yeah, who can say?
So we're going to finish that up. We're going to talk through the things that are in that. And then potentially, depending on how much time we have left, because we don't need to do every episode is 3 hours. We will be taking a moment to reflect on the book in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, now we're experts. Yeah, we did it.
Exactly.
We read Jane Eyre.
I'm so curious to see, like, kind of the closing, like, thoughts and feelings of this novel. Like, how they... I'm excited to see... I anticipate a lot of reflection from Jane. So I can't wait to see what that might entail.
Yeah, that internal process of why did she go back, I think, is something that is alluded to in a lot of the adaptions. We can make assumptions and guesses about it. And I'm wondering if, like many of the other things in Jane Eyre that we've seen in the book, it's sort of open to interpretation and we get more subtlety in those decision-making moments, or if it turns out there's a super clear, I went back because of this, and this is exactly the logic and reasons I used. I'm also hoping that the lines, some of my favorite lines are in there. Like, you know that I fall for St. John every time he says she's made for labor. Which I don't know if we've read that or not yet.
Not yet, no. Oh my god.
But damn boy. Always getting me.
Lillian's like, every time he says it, I just hand in my feminist card. I'm like, I don't need this anymore.
I'm going to go be the problem in the world with St. John.
That little baby.
Anyway.
Yeah, so.
Well, I guess watch Haunted Mansion, read Piper's book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Follow Airbuds on all of our social platforms. Yeah. Airbuds, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah. Send us an email about your favorite spooky property and the fanfics that you've written. Yeah. And I meant that in the...
Spooky properties!
I didn't mean it as like a house property, but that works. It's a double entendre. So yes, send us an email, airbuds@gmail.com. And also just, have a great spooky evening, day. Yeah. I hope you're all in costume. And if not, I hope, you're thinking about your fun outfits in your brains. And
yeah. And if you, are by the time you're listening to this, you will know what I was for Halloween.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's going to be shared on I'm going to share a picture of Piper and I. I'm going to Piper's house this evening for a Halloween party.
I'm so excited.
So you guys will get to see a picture of Piper and I. And some of you probably more of you than the party we're going to, will know who I am.
I cannot wait. It's going to be so good. So happy haunting, everybody. Happy Jane Eyre reading and watching. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.